So it was actually my pleasure to see when I opened the book and saw my paper had been accepted in the session where if we had planned that we all wanted to get together around a similar topic, I'm not sure we could have done a better job. So it seems that it's obviously something of concern that it's one thing to be able to design the perfect program, which I can't say I've accomplished, but to get people to come and participate, that's another question altogether. So this is the title of my talk, and my co-author is Michael Prelip, who isn't here at the presentation, but he's here at the meeting. And as we were required, here's my disclosure. I have no relationships to disclose. So I don't have too much of the information up on the slides because for some reason my file got really big right away. So I'm going to just do more talking and then show you the key slides. So our project was focused on obesity. And what happened to that watch I was going to use? Great. Thank you very much. So my project is focused on obesity, and as I'm sure you're all aware, obesity is a major cause of disease and disability in the United States and actually in the world. And in our particular study, we used a participatory process to develop an intervention that was appropriate for elementary school personnel. So our study was for the workers, not for the students. And our goal was to either reduce or to prevent obesity, and primarily by promoting healthy behaviors, which involved, in most cases, either increasing exercise or changing dietary patterns, or both, of course. And we thought that obesity was a particularly important target for the workplace because in the Surgeon General's call to action to prevent and decrease overweight and obesity, the Surgeon General specifically addresses the value of using schools as work sites to intervene. And he says that in the report that health promotion in the school setting has the potential of reducing absenteeism, lowering turnover rates, and lowering insurance rates. And of course, this wouldn't be unique to the schools. This would be something that would generalize across other work sites. What's of value in the schools is that if teachers and other school staff engage in healthy activities and health promotion, this has the potential to affect the students as kind of a trickle down. They would be good role models to the students. They may be promoting more healthful images in the classroom and create overall a more optimistic school climate. So we felt that there was the possibility with our study of having a direct benefit on the workers and perhaps an indirect benefit on the students. And so for the study described here, just to so you know, is that the research team obtained approval from the IRB at UCLA and from the Los Angeles Unified School District, where we performed our study, from their review board as well. And in the study, we had personnel from 8 intervention schools and 8 control schools, and all of the schools were elementary schools. And today, I'm not really going to be talking about the intervention itself, other than I want to just present the context for it so you know what kind of study we did. But the main thing that we're talking about today is why people decided to participate or why they did not get involved in the study. So in the study itself, as I mentioned, we used the participatory process. And so each of the 8 intervention schools formed their own wellness activity committee. And so this was a committee that was entirely voluntary. We, our staff from UCLA came to the individual schools after the principals agreed to participate, and we gave talks about what the study was about. We posted flyers. We went through virtually every means that we thought would be possible and effective with the help of the school personnel to advertise. And the idea was that each school would form its own wellness committee and then develop activities for themselves that they thought teachers and other school personnel would want to do. And most of the activities that they developed were focused towards obesity prevention and reduction, but they didn't have to be. And the schools got, per year, it was a two-year study, the intervention schools got a $3,500 stipend each year to pay for the activities that they initiated. And so some of the examples were things like walking and running clubs, exercise classes, healthy lunches, healthy snacks at meetings. But they also came up with other ideas, things like stress management. And one school used some of the money to repaint their lounge so that it would be a more comfortable and relaxing place. So people sort of stretched the idea of health promotion. But this was their committee, so whatever they wanted was okay for us. And at the conclusion of the two-year study, and after we collected all of the data, we then decided to form some focus groups so we could find out from the individuals at the schools why they decided to participate and hopefully get some non-participants in our focus group so we could talk to them about why they didn't participate. And so we conducted a series of focus groups, and these were not held on the campus. They were held at kind of a one of the LA Unified School District's buildings so that it wouldn't be sort of owned by any one of our eight particular campuses. So the recruitment for the focus group essentially was starting over in that we posted flyers, we went to some of the staff meetings at the schools. Of course, the wellness committees themselves publicized that we were going to have these focus groups, and we made it very clear that you did not have to have participated in any of the wellness activities. You didn't have to have been on the committees. And in order to increase participation, we offered an incentive, which was they got a gift card that was could be used at a local grocery store. So altogether, we recruited 46 respondents for the focus groups, and 38 of them had participated in some worksite wellness activity over the two-year period, and 8 of them had not. And so, of course, we got more people who were involved in the study to begin with. It's not surprising that we weren't as successful in recruiting from the non-participants, but we felt we were happy we got somebody to discuss the activities with us. So in terms of who participated in the focus groups, now what I should have done but I didn't was to determine if these groups came out proportionate to how the people are to the staff in the school. In other words, the majority are teachers, but the largest body of staff at the schools are teachers. I'm guessing this is not that far off. So in the focus group, the majority were teachers. 29 out of the 46 respondents. There were 5 cafeteria workers, 3 teacher's assistants, 2 education aides, 1 special ed instructor, 2 office workers, 2 assistant principals, and 1 outreach coordinator. And on average, the people in the focus groups had been working at their schools about 11 years, and the most of the participants were female, which was the case for the sample as the whole. So there was there were 2 males in the participant focus groups and 1 male in the non-participant focus group. And so when we actually conducted the focus groups, we came up with a separate protocol to lead the focus groups. So we hired someone separately then who was not part of the study, had not been involved in facilitating at the school, so someone they had never seen before, ran the focus groups, and that was using a standard interview guide, as I mentioned, one for the participant group and one for the non-participant group. And they were asked a series of questions about their conceptions of health, what it meant to them to be healthy, and if they had been aware of or involved in any of the wellness activities that had taken place at their school, what kinds of things they liked or disliked in regard to health promotion activities, and if they had any thoughts or ideas about what might be useful in a future health promotion program at their school. And we did what's considered pretty standard protocol for running focus groups, in that we tape recorded the sessions, and then the focus group facilitator went through the tapes and pulled out the prominent themes. And themes were mostly identified by the types of comments that were made most frequently, but also if a comment was made very emotionally and no one in the group disagreed, or if someone said something also in a very serious tone and also no one disagreed. So, but primarily on frequency, if the same comment kept coming up over and over again. And so the key findings in regard to the focus groups that I'm going to talk about today are the factors that facilitated participation and the factors that impeded participation. And as I'm sure you've already considered yourself, is that the comments of the focus group members cannot be construed to be representative of the group as a whole, because only a small proportion of the total available participants agreed to be in the focus groups, and among those people, they're not representative of the people who participated in the intervention or the people who didn't. But at least these were people who volunteered, and it's mostly, we consider it kind of suggestive information. And so some of the findings, and I'm going to go a little bit slower here because now I'm talking about the actual data relevant to this presentation, is first of all, they, despite the fact that some people were interested in getting engaged in our activities, and actually their activities, and some were not, the participants and non-participants were actually similar. They had very similar ideas on how they defined health and healthy behaviors. They also had a high degree of similarity in their attitudes about the appropriateness and perceived benefits of wellness activities in the school setting. And very important to us is that their recall of the types of activities offered in the schools was the same. So it wasn't that the non-participants said, oh, I didn't know about the program, or no one told me, or, you know, I never saw any notices. So it seemed that they had a similar awareness that it existed, and they also mentioned similar kinds of barriers as what were the things that kept them away. Why didn't they participate? So in terms of the factors that facilitated participation, and I'm going to read a quote from one of the focus group members for each of these particular factors so you get a sense in their own words. And so firstly, one of the things that facilitated participation was feeling obliged to attend in order to set the trend and encourage other staff members to attend. So one person said, since I was on the committee, I felt that I was obligated to. By promoting the wellness activities, I would need to participate myself. So that's why I was motivated, because I kind of wanted to be a role model. So that was the kind of one comment. In terms of another facilitating factor was that the activities themselves would be planned during times that were convenient to the various participants. So someone said, I think for me it had a lot to do with time. It was an added fringe benefit that it was free, but I would have paid for it. It's just for me, it was more convenient with that time. Another common response was the opportunity to safely try activities free of charge. And so an example of that is, I tried yoga at work. It was a great opportunity. It was something I had always wanted to do, and I ended up liking it. And then another factor was some of the activities ended up bringing out competitiveness in people. And so one of the people said, and we formed groups, then we made our own names, and our group had a name. And you know, just a little competition going, which was fun. So that was one of the things I would say we actually hadn't anticipated. We sort of assumed being convenient and having the time would be important. Then the other factor that we really didn't anticipate and turned out to be quite important was being invited to wellness activities by other staff members. And so I didn't write a, I actually don't have a quote for that one because it was just sort of straightforward that my friend invited me to go. Okay, so what stood in the way? The main thing, and this was like so much greater than all the other inhibiting factors, was the time conflict. And so one person said, personally for me, it was the time because I was doing my student teaching and I had school and I really didn't have time. The other thing, and this we did anticipate that there was, it was just no way to get around it, was holding the activities at times that were inconvenient. And this mostly related to whether we could get people outside the teacher group of employees, because people, let's say, who work in the cafeteria come in earlier and leave earlier, and many of the activities were actually took place after school. And so one of the participants in the focus group said, I always felt very guilty because the cafeteria workers really didn't have available time where they were free. The classes were held at 2:30 after school. They were gone by then because they were at school very early. The other factor was interfering with time to socialize with peers. And so one of the participants said, I only get to see my friends during lunch and recess. The friends that I talk to, socialize with, are on different grade levels. So either all of you go or you don't go. And I'm not always in the mood to give up that time and go. And then, of course, not surprisingly, some people didn't like the activities, and I didn't come up with a quote for that. And then last, and this was sort of interesting to us, that because they were, someone said, well, this may be just because we're teachers, but they tend to focus on the needs of others. We all have millions of excuses, and honestly, I don't think any of us have time to do the things that we do. Our work is never done, but I think some people don't put themselves as a priority. It's always, I have to get this done in my classroom, or this done for my family, or somebody else. And so, although not directly mentioned, I got the 5-minute signal, that's why I'm speeding up a little, although not directly mentioned by focus group members as a barrier or reason for not attending, what was mentioned repeatedly was this notion of invitations to participate, that people somehow felt someone had to invite them, or they didn't know, well, am I eligible to participate because I wasn't on the wellness committee? There was a lot of schedule changing that went on because at the schools, it was, there's been a period of turmoil for the last number of years in the public schools, and union actions and programs would end up getting postponed. And then in the LAUSD, which may be unique to some of the larger school districts, there was overcrowding, so the schools were on different calendars, and so people were not, they might start participating, but then their calendar would not be in sync with the rest. So in terms of, for us, what we thought the most important lessons learned were, first of all, to capitalize on existing social networks. And so we think that even people who didn't participate in the wellness committees, if there were certain identifiable, and that would be maybe a hard thing to do, identifiable social groups that somehow weren't being reached, that efforts should be made to engage with maybe the sociometric star of that particular social group to get this, the notion out that everybody's welcome, and for people not to feel kind of timid, oh, it's just the teachers, or it's just this particular subgroup. The second thing was to consult employees not on the planning committee. So if the planning committee meetings were done at a time that was maybe most convenient for teachers or for the four people who showed up at the first meeting, to try to pull in at least the ideas from other people, even if they're not serving on the planning committee. And then the third thing was to offer incentives. And it seemed that the grocery card gift certificate and other things, whenever you offer something to bring people in, that helps. And then the last thing, which wasn't mentioned by the focus group workers, focus group participants, but just from my experience at these schools, is really the key to the whole program was for the principal to buy in. Even though the principals volunteer, that's how they got in the program to begin with, the ones that were enthusiastic and gave our program a high priority, their teachers joined, their workers joined, and it was with a lot of enthusiasm. The teachers who sort of said, yeah, 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 and then stashed the money in some other account and made it hard for the workers to get to it, they didn't do so well. So anyway, I think my time is up, and I want to thank you very much for your attention. sad.